Thank the Lord this morning for His faithfulness, for His goodness and mercies to us. I'm sure we all realize this day is what the Christian world calls Palm Sunday. The Sunday before Easter, the Sunday before Jesus was crucified. We don't know exactly when the time of the year was and how all things went about except for what the Word of God tells us. But the important thing is that we know that Jesus came into this world and gave His life for you and I. And we know that He was resurrected after they put Him to death. And He's sitting on the right hand of the Father today. I'm so grateful for that. I'd like to talk just a little bit this morning about purpose. Purpose. Jesus came into the world. He was on a mission. He had something that He was to accomplish. He was here with a purpose to do His Father's will, a purpose to be faithful, to become the sacrifice that you and I needed in order for us to have a hope of eternal life. And He was faithful in that purpose. He was determined that He was going to go all the way for us. And I ask the Lord to help us today that we will be so determined that we will go all the way with Him. There's always obstacles and roadblocks that the enemy and things seem like are thrown in our way. But folks, we need to have a resolve this morning. I am resolved. That no matter what it is that I have to face, no matter what it is that I have to go through, no matter what it is that the enemy may present to me or come my way or against me, the foes of this world, I am resolved and I am determined by the grace of God that I will accomplish the mission that God has for me. He didn't just have a mission for His Son. He's got a mission for you and I. And when I think of the word purpose, I've had a lot of thoughts about that this week. I think about the Ecclesiastes over there where it says, vanity, vanity, life is all vanity and vexation of spirit. Life can become pretty empty and void. We say, well, we do a lot. We're busy. We're always active. We're doing things in our life. But folks, really life is very meaningless without a purpose. I remember being out there in the world away from the Lord and just going through the motions of life and without a purpose. And life really didn't have the meaning that life has today. Jesus gave life a meaning. He gave you and I a purpose when He came into our hearts and when He came into our lives. And I ask the question of each and every one of us today, what do you want to accomplish with your life? What do you want to, are you accomplishing what you've set out to accomplish? Do you really have a motive for how you're living your life, the direction that you're going in life? Do you really stop and consciously think about what am I doing? Maybe what am I doing here? How am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Every one of us need to have a purpose. And we need to fulfill that purpose in life that God has for you and I. In saying that, I would like to look at a little bit at Jesus' mission here and his purpose of being here. I'd like to begin in the 16th chapter of Matthew. I know we're familiar with the scripture, and maybe I'll just do some paraphrasing here. But in the 15th verse, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whom say ye that I am?" Do you know who I am? Jesus came with a purpose, and if people didn't know what the purpose was and didn't know who he was and what he was here to accomplish, it'd be pretty meaningless, wouldn't it? Who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said that flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but the Father in heaven revealed that. So, we see here they knew who he was. Do we know who Jesus is today? Do you know what his real purpose and the real meaning of him coming into this world and giving his life for us? I would say that most of us do. But I'd like for us to just contemplate upon that for a little bit and think about Jesus went through a lot for you and I. He went through a lot of difficulty, a lot of hardship at the hands of men, at the hands of his creation. And I'd really like to begin reading here in this chapter in the 21st verse. You pray the Lord will bless us today, the word. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Now, I take you to another picture. I won't go over and read it, but it's written in several of the Gospels. But in the 21st chapter of Matthew, it tells about Jesus calling for a colt, and about how they went and got the colt and they brought it to him and they put their clothes on it and they put Jesus on it and he rode that colt into Jerusalem. The triumphant entry of Christ going into Jerusalem. What was he going to Jerusalem for? He knew what he was going there for. But I think about how that the people praised him and they cried out, "Hosanna in the highest." And they just worshiped him and they honored him. And all that time that he's riding down the street there going into Jerusalem, I believe this is what was really on his mind. The things that he was going to suffer. The purpose that he had for being here in the first place. Looking at all this humanity around them. Realizing that they needed salvation. Realizing they needed what he came for. And he was going down through there and they were worshiping him and throwing palm branches in the way and just praising Jesus there. And I'm thankful this morning that he was willing to do that because he had a lot on his mind while he was taking that ride. You know that? He had a lot on his mind. He had communication with God, the Father. Many times we read where Jesus went out into the mountain to pray. We know, I believe that before Jesus ever came to the world, that him and the Father had some counseling together, some communication together, and Jesus knew what his purpose was. He knew why he had to come. He knew that if he didn't come, and if he didn't succeed in going all the way to the cross for you and I, that mankind would utterly perish and be lost forever. That's quite a mission, wasn't it? It's quite a purpose. There was something to be attained. And he was interested to see it through. So he told his disciples here, and I want to read that again. He told them how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Now he had revealed himself to the disciples. His Father had revealed him to the disciples. They knew he was Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was the pronouncement there. So they knew who he was. Now they're going to learn what he was here for. The real bottom line of what he, the real reason that he was here. The real root of the reason why that he was here. And Jesus began to explain that to them. He began to expound on that to them. And it says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now folks, that is a classic example of people following their own passions, following their own hearts, having a purpose to get what they can get out of this world, and have a total lack of understanding what the God of heaven actually went through, the plan of salvation that he actually sent forth through his Son, Jesus Christ, and they have very little reasoning and understanding of what I'm talking about right now this morning. Peter did not understand that it was necessary that these things would be done. Jesus knew what he was going to face. He knew the suffering. He knew about the scourging. He knew about the crown of thorns. He knew about all those things that he was going to face. And he said, they're going to kill me when I get there, but I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going because he saw you. What does the scripture say? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Hebrews 12:2. The glory that was set before him. Folks, his purpose had a special meaning to him. I believe every time that my Savior looked into the face of another man, he realized, you need me. You need what I've come to offer. You need what I've come to bring to a lost and a dying world. And I believe the joy in looking down upon those souls, knowing I've got to suffer, I'm going to be abused, I'm going to be taken by the hands of men. But folks, he looked all the way down to this day that you and I live in, and he sees that now today, because of what he accomplished, the purpose that he came for and giving his life and shedding his blood, you and I are still enjoying it today. What a plan. What a purpose. What a God. What a Savior. I thank the Lord for the Savior and his willingness to go through these things for you and I. Peter began to rebuke him. Be it far from thee that thou, that this shall not be unto thee. Folks, it is human nature. It is natural to you and I. When we hear about someone suffering, it hurts. We don't want others to suffer. I don't want to see you suffer. We don't want to see others suffer and go through these things. But Jesus had a purpose, and that purpose included suffering. He knew that he had to suffer in order to bring this thing about. The captain of our salvation was made perfect through the things that he suffered for you and I. And so how Peter had to learn. He did learn before the end of his life. But he had to learn and understand, folks, that the way of Christ, the way of God, the way of righteousness, there's suffering in the way of righteousness. There's suffering in giving up the world. There's suffering in separating yourself from the things of this world and from people and things that would influence you to do wrong. There's suffering when it comes to those kind of, there's heartaches, there's sorrows, there's things that you've got to deal with. Oh, Lord, far be it from me. You're the Christ. He just told him, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I don't want to see you suffer. I don't want to see you suffer. Far be it from thee that you would go and suffer. But Jesus turned and he said unto Peter, get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I say, God, help us here this morning, that we would all learn to savor the things that be of God, to see God's plan, to see how holiness is worked out in the plan of salvation, to see what God allowed His Son to go through. Folks, Paul tells us in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, that His sacrifice was a sweet-smelling savor to the Father. His sacrifice, a sweet-smelling savor, because God knew that His sacrifice, what it was going to accomplish and what it was going to do for mankind and the hope that it was going to bring to you and my soul. God knew those things. So did Jesus, and He had to suffer. And He told him before He even went and did the suffering, He told him what He was going to face. He told him what He was going to deal with. He said again, "Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Folks, let's you and I this morning, by the help of the Lord, in our prayers, in our consecrations, in our walk with the Lord, that we will live a deep, consecrated walk with the Lord. People today are so shallow. They're not willing to give this up. They're not willing to give that up. They're not willing to get the understanding where understanding is needed. Peter needed some understanding, and the Lord said, "You're an offense to me. I know I've got to go, and here you're trying to tell me that I shouldn't have to go face these things. I got a purpose, Peter." Pray for my throat. "I got a purpose, Peter. I came here that the souls of men could be saved. And I got a purpose." Jesus came with a purpose. There was a lot on His heart, folks, when He rode into Jerusalem that day. People looked upon Him, they praised Him, they honored Him. They did not have a clue what He had on His mind, what He had on His heart. Here, just a few days later, those very same people, what were they crying out? "Crucify Him. Crucify Him." Oh, fickle, fickle people. People that are so changeable. They'll say one thing today and say something else tomorrow. We live in that kind of an ungodly world today. People will go with the flow. They'll go with the tide. Whatever is being touted today, people will get behind it and support it. And then when something changes and something else is being touted over here, they'll get behind that and they'll lift it up and forget all about what they said 2 or 3 days ago and what they supported 2 or 3 days ago. It needs be. He had to go, He said. He said to the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Folks, notice here that although Jesus knew that He was going to Jerusalem and He was going to be abused by the people and He was going to be put to death, folks, even Jesus was given a hope. He knew that even though He was going to be put to death, He was going to be raised again. Praise the Lord. And folks, think about it. In that great plan, that purpose that Jesus had for you and I, in that great plan this morning, He has planned that you and I will die someday, but someday God's going to raise us up out of those graves and take us on to glory to be able to live with Him forever. Ever. Forever. In eternity. Oh, folks, I tell you, I get real excited when I think about this. I was reading a scripture over in John the other day where it says God, where Jesus said, "God has put you in my hands." And He said, "No man is able to pluck you out of His hands." No man is able to pluck you out of His hands. And I said right there out loud audibly in my home, I said, "Thank you, Jesus, for the hope and knowing that no man can pluck me out of your hand. I'm safe in the arms of Jesus. And I can stay safe in the arms of Jesus." Because He had a purpose, folks. And that purpose was fulfilled with His life. Not just His words. It was fulfilled with His life, wasn't it? Folks, do you have a purpose to live for the Lord? Have you purposed in your heart? You're going to have to give Him your life. You're going to have to submit to your will and His purpose in your life if you want to have eternal life forever and ever and ever. Well, Jesus went on to say something else here. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself. Take up. You know what that means? It means lift it up. Lift it up high. Lift up the cross. Jesus isn't here in the flesh. You and I are here in the flesh. We live in a lost, decaying world today. People around us, family, friends, loved ones, neighbors, society in general, they don't understand what I'm talking about here this morning. And you and I, Jesus said for us to deny ourselves. You think Jesus had to do some denying when he knew he was going to Jerusalem to be persecuted and suffered and be put to death? Don't you? He was in the flesh, folks. And he denied himself. And he went to that cross for you and I. And he's telling us here, he's telling the disciples and us this morning, he said, deny yourself and lift it up high. Glorify God with your life. Be willing to suffer persecution. Be willing to go through some things in your life. Don't be questioning God all the time. Lord, why did this happen? Why that? Folks, be willing to submit to the will of God in your life. Put your purpose in His hands and let Him work it out in your life. Because the whole reason, and I heard it in prayer this morning, to glorify God. Jesus wanted to glorify the Father. Folks, it hasn't stopped. You and I are to glorify God. You and I are to lift Him up. Take up that cross. Take up those sorrows. Take up those heartaches. Take up those disappointments. Take up those things that didn't go just the way you thought they was going to go or the way you thought they should have went. Take up those things. Put them on the cross. Nail it there. Give it to the Lord. Get a renewed purpose, a renewed consecration in your heart and in your life. Father, I'm determined, just like Jesus, I'm determined by the grace of God, Lord. I'm going all the way. I'm going to submit to your will, whatever your will is. Lord, help us today. Let's not be shallow in our walk with the Lord. Let's not be shallow in our understanding of why God did what He did, folks. We know why He did what He did. Most people understand Jesus died to save us. But folks, why did He have to suffer? Why did He have to go through this thing? Because God said it needs be. God's saying the same thing to us today. We lift up the cross high with our lives. People looking on, they question, well, you're weird, you're odd, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do the things of the world. Lift Him up. Lift Him up. Don't be ashamed of Him. Lift up the cross. Glorify God. Praise God in everything that you do in your life. Give Him the praise. Give Him the glory. Give Him the honor for everything that He does for you. Job said, we received the good things, shall we not receive the bad too? Folks, there's going to be bad and good things in life. Life doesn't really have any great meaning, I'm going to say it again, unless you've got a real purpose and you're determined in your heart, I'm going all the way with God. I'm going to live for Him. Lord, give me purpose. Help me to realize there's something that I need to attain. I need to attain to a higher calling. I need to attain to a greater purpose. I need to get down so low in my spirit and in myself that I will get down so low that I can say, God, whatever you allow, whatever you want to do with this old flesh, this old body, whatever you want to do with this old life, glorify your name, Lord. That ought to be our purpose. That ought to be our resolve before God. I don't know if I can even do it or not. I was going to try to sing a verse and a chorus of a song that the Lord seemed like put on my heart. Maybe I'll get it started. You that know it can help me. Many years I long for rest, perfect peace within my breast, and I often sought the Lord alone in tears. But I would not pay the price, would not make the sacrifice. So I wandered on and on for many years. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee. May all self be slain, my friends, see only You. Though it costs me grief and pain, I will find my life again. If I lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee. Jesus said, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Let me lose myself. You know, I'm pushing 70 awful close. And it seems like I look back upon my life, there's been an awful lot of my life about self. It's been about me. Folks, I want the remainder of my life to be about Him. Whatever His purpose, whatever His will. Folks, there's no way you can lose. If He takes me out of this world, I've got glory to look to. There's no way you can lose with this. It's a win-win situation, folks. When we give up ourselves and our life, and that our very purpose, our very motive, our very resolution, the mission that God has given us in this life is to glorify Him and lift up His cross and let this poor world know and understand that we aren't just, the world isn't just celebrating Palm and Easter Sunday, folks. I'm celebrating someone in my heart this morning that came to this world with a purpose. And He had you and I in mind. And He was faithful. He rode on that donkey and He went all the way in there knowing they were going to take His life. But He had a hope, folks. We got a hope this morning. He's going to raise us up. He's going to raise us. Blessed are those that take part in the first resurrection. Those of us that have been saved, those of us that have been delivered, blessed are. But folks, blessed are those that take part in the second one. I want to be there for the second one. God has a purpose. He has a plan for you and I. I'd like to look at a scripture in Mark. I didn't know I was going to be preaching this hard, but you pray the Lord will bless. Mark the 10th chapter, James and John, verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto Him, saying, Master, we would that Thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. We got something we want to ask You to do for us, Lord. Whatever we desire, I want You to do something for me, Lord. And He said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? He already knew. You know, I believe He already knew. But He was communicating with His disciples. They said unto Him, grant unto us that we may sit, one on Thy right hand and the other on My left hand in Thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. Can you think of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said, we can. And Jesus said, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of and with the baptism that I am baptized with all shall ye be baptized. Oh, it reminds me of so much. Going on 49 years of marriage. Reminds me of so much of that day when I said I do and didn't have a clue what all that meant. Didn't have a clue what was going to be involved in the next 48 plus years when I said I do. These disciples, oh yes, Lord, we can. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to remind you this morning, it will take every bit of the grace of God for you to stay faithful and true. Every bit of His grace, every bit of His strength, it will take you and I getting low down at His feet with a purpose in our heart and life that God, whatever You permit to come our way, I intend by the grace of God to be faithful. You know, the Lord knows our motives. He knows our motives. Everybody don't all understand us. We're all different. We have different makeups, personalities, and everybody don't understand it. But God knows our motives. He knows your motives. He knows exactly what you're thinking right now. He knows all about us. Oh, yeah. Are you sure this is what you want? Are you sure you want a drink of that cup? Let me tell you, folks, to drink of that cup means a willingness to say, yes, Lord, amen, to whatever your will is. You don't know what you ask, the Lord told them. And they didn't. They didn't understand. They didn't know what they were asking. But from the man's point of view, from the man's understanding, there wasn't a spiritual understanding here. They wanted to sit beside Him when He came into His kingdom. It sounded like a good thing. It sounded like a noble thing, didn't it? He said, it is not mine to give where you sit when I come into my kingdom. But He said, you shall indeed drink of this cup. As far as I know, every one of the disciples, according to history, were martyred except John. Every one of them suffered. Even John drank the cup. They tried to boil him in oil, I understand. Couldn't kill him. Folks, I don't know. Don't know. I do know, I do believe I know this. I believe time's short. I believe the Lord's coming back. I see the world deteriorating all around me. I see the liberal mindset of people today. Giving in to anything and everything, whatever feels good, they do it. Whatever is anything that promotes godlessness, put me in. Put me in. Wife was talking, I was talking about it yesterday. She said, this is a lawless society. I said, that reminds me, long time back, the Lord gave me a message on the law of the lawless. That's where we are today. The law of the lawless. That's what's going on in this land today, in this world. Jesus said, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. He said, but you don't know what you ask. You don't know what you ask, saints. We don't know what we're going to face yet. We don't know what we're going to have to deal with. Are you down there? Are you low at Jesus' feet? Do you have a real purpose, a real determination? Are you crying out to the Lord, let me lose myself? Not about self, folks. It's about a blood-soaked Savior, isn't it? That's what it's really all about. And you and I are to glorify Him. If you've decided to follow Jesus, and if you've taken the Lord as your personal Savior, folks, let me tell you, you're going to drink of the cup. You're going to drink of the cup. The Scripture says, in all that live godly shall suffer persecution. I think that's one of my last scripture. We're all going to suffer it. I don't want to see you suffer. Nobody wants to see another person suffer. Not anybody in their right mind. Let me say it that way. We don't want to see another suffer. But folks, if you're suffering, if you're going through hardships, if you're going through disappointments, if you're grieving and your heart is full of sorrow, folks, that is the cross. Deny yourself and lift up the cross and follow Jesus. It's all about Him. It's all about our loving Savior. You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup? Be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said, we can. Pretty forthright, isn't it? Pretty forthright. I don't know how much thought they gave it. what they was really interested in is when they left this world and they went up to heaven, they wanted to sit beside Jesus on his throne. But they weren't looking at the cup. They weren't looking at what was going to take to get there. Saints, I don't know what it's going to take for you and me to get there. But I do know that God said his grace was sufficient to get us there. I do know that. He may put us in a furnace of trial, and he may keep us there for months. He may keep us there for years. But he has a purpose in everything that he does. It's not to see us suffer. But suffering goes with the plan. The plan of salvation. May God give us the grace to be faithful. Their words, oh, we can, they said. Their words turned into purpose. Their words turned into a mission. Lord, we can. If the Lord was to come by you this morning and say, can you drink of the cup that I drink of? You're going to say, Lord, I can. By your grace, by your help, I have purposed in my heart, Lord, that I will drink it. If you'll give me the grace to stand true and faithful. No man in here is able to stand against the enemy alone. Man cannot stand against the enemy. It's by God's grace, his strength, and his mercy that's going to get you and I through. Lord, help us to be as the five wise that had oil in their vessels. Keep your life up to date, folks. Don't get careless. I was thinking of the scripture that the other day where Jesus said something about, I don't know if I can get a hold of it, but he said something about the day coming. Be prepared, for you know not which hour. And I'm thinking, Lord, don't let me get careless here. I'm getting down to the end of my way, Lord. I don't want to get careless. I don't want to get lackadaisical about this thing. I don't want to think that I got it all together and everything is just in good shape. Lord, I want to continuously work on losing myself and finding it. And finding it in you, Lord. Let's read that scripture in Philippians, the second chapter. Let this mind, verse 5, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what we're talking about this morning. The mind of Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He wasn't trying to exalt himself. He wasn't trying to lift up himself. He's riding into Jerusalem and they're all worshiping and praising him. He wasn't taking that praise, folks. Everything that he received, he gave to the Father to glorify the Father. And he said he made himself no reputation and took on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even the death. He humbled himself to his enemies. He opened up his arms, laid them down on that wood, and they drove the spikes through it and nailed him to a cross. But it wasn't the nails that held him there, was it? That's not what kept him on that cross, folks. It was his purpose. It was his love for you and I. He saw the needs of mankind. He saw the need. And he came here with a vengeance against the enemy of our souls. With a vengeance. Even to the point when he was on that cross, it looked like that he had been defeated, didn't it? But folks, that's when the victory came. Sometimes we get places in our walk with the Lord, going through hard and Lord, it seems like I might as well give up. I'm being defeated here. Folks, don't give up. That's when the victory comes. The victory came. They put him to death, but 3 days later, he rose again. He rose again. They didn't defeat him. The devil didn't defeat him. The devil tried to defeat Jesus one time, in my estimation. When he was taken out into that wilderness, he tried to get him to jump off that cliff. Because he didn't want Jesus going to this cross. But I'm glad Jesus went to the cross. Are you willing to go to the cross? Is that your purpose? To live for the Lord and be faithful all the way for the Lord? Lord, help every one of us to see it is to the glorifying of God that we're willing to fulfill the call that He has made to us. I was thinking during Sunday school this morning, the call. Paul said the calling is without repentance. We've been called to be kings and priests, to glorify God. Folks, your calling is without repentance. God has a purpose for you. If He's called you, He didn't just call you to come and sit on a pew. He didn't just call you for that. He's got a purpose for your life. You can be a blessing to those that are around you, lifting up the cross, glorifying God. Look at another scripture here. In 2 Timothy, Paul again. I tell you what, he got a good vision of this. He got a good vision of this and he put it in practice in his ministry. 2 Timothy 3:10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose. Paul had a purpose, didn't he? You know my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, and my patience. Some might say Paul got a little rough with some of those fellows in some of those congregations. His speech was pretty plain sometimes, but folks, we read in another place where he said, I treat you as a nurse nourisheth her children. Sometimes, folks, you've got to be rough with the devil. You can't be on his territory and let him beat you all around. Sometimes you've got to let people know, no, you're doing wrong there and you need to change. If you love their souls. And Paul loved souls, didn't he? He said, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Lord, help us to wait on our deliverance. Lord, this hurts. This really hurts. I know about pain. I know about hurt. I know about sorrow. I know about disappointment. We all, most of us, know about those things. Some of us may be a little deeper than others. But he said, yea, verse 12, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Shall suffer persecution. He said, maybe you'll suffer. No, he didn't say maybe you will. He said, you will. He said, you will. It's coming. You might as well buckle up. Hold on tight, folks. It's coming. But when the persecution comes, the grace comes. The Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The grace comes too. But remember that if the persecution comes and whatever it is that you've got to put on the cross, God has a purpose in it. He has a purpose in your life, in each and every one of us. I think this is a good verse or a good scripture to finish with. I'd like to read Psalms 24, thinking of Jesus' purpose, His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. with a lot on his heart. With a lot on his heart. What does it say here, 20:24-7? I can find it. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your heads. And be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Oh, I want him in. I want him there so bad. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. In battle. Yeah, I spoke of battles last week. We all go through battles, don't we? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even then lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Folks, I truly believe this morning with all my heart, and I haven't faced everything. I haven't faced the things you faced and vice versa. But I truly believe this morning that God has a purpose in everything that he does with you and me. And I want to be willing to see that and submit to that and allow him to have his way. You know, in Luke 9:51, we won't turn to it, but it says, when the time was come that he should be received up, Jesus knew when his time was, didn't he? He steadfastly, that's what the scripture says, steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I know I'm going to my death. And he steadfastly, he stuck to the purpose. He stuck to the plan because there was joy that was set before him. You and I, by God's help, cannot allow anything to keep us from the purpose that God has for us to complete his work in this world. We're on a mission, every one of us. And folks, let me reiterate again, your life truly is meaningless without a purpose. Why are you here? What are you doing? Who are you doing it for? Are you lifting up self or are you lifting up Christ? We're on a mission, folks. Are there hardships to endure? Of course. Of course there is. Of course there's hardships. You're going to face hardships without the Lord in your life. Just being in this world, folks, you're going to deal with hardships. I choose today to endure the hardships with the help of the Lord in my life. Thank the Lord today for his great plan, for his love and mercy and goodness to all of us. Appreciate your time and attention to the Word of God. Pray for me.